Good morning. I'm glad to see that you all got the memo about the time change. And we'll see who didn't when they wander in about an hour. So welcome to Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church. I am really happy to see you all. A couple of announcements for you. One is this past week we had a really great time sharing a meal, a lesson, and a few activities at our Lenten soup supper. And we're going to continue this week at Bethel United Presbyterian Church. I know it's difficult going someplace new and it's a little far away. So if you would like to carpool, please sign up in the back. I am happy to drive a few people, but I will have to leave no later than 5 so that I can set up the labyrinth and help with the other prayer stations. And the sooner that I know, the better. Also, this upcoming Saturday is the craft show. Yay! And the bake sale. So if you have baked goods or if you want to help out with that in any way, please see BJ. And then finally on my list, I have one great hour of sharing. If you would like to contribute to the one great hour of sharing and help the Presbyterian Mission Agency, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, you can either, you know, save it all up and give on Palm Sunday, or if you would like to donate to One Great Hour of Sharing beforehand, just write on the envelope, One Great Hour of Sharing. Are there any other announcements, anything that I missed? No? Looks good. With that, let us gather and proclaim our readiness to worship God. If God is a hen, we are under God's wing. If God is a table, we each have a seat. If God is a house, we are safe from the storm. If God is a party, we are invited to dance. If God is a melody, our names are the lyrics. If this is God's house, then all are welcomed, all are loved, all belong. Let us worship Holy God. Let us rise in body or spirit to join in our opening hymn here in this place, number 401. We're only doing verses 1, 2, and 4.
Here in this place, my beloved.
Siblings, we come to confession not to wallow in our guilt, but because we know change starts with being honest. And a desire to grow and change, let us confess our sins to our loving God. Merciful God, you have made us citizens of heaven, but we confess that we have set our minds on earthly things. We have let our desire for security restrain our commitment to serve the poor. We have let our fear of danger curb our obligation to love our enemies. We have let our love of things dull our generosity to the needy. We have let our craving for public status prevent our honesty about hidden sins. Yet you know the desires of our heart, and nothing is hidden from you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, conform our sin-weakened bodies to the glory of Christ, that we may be the body of Christ for the world. Amen. God, our light and our salvation, does not forsake us or leave us in our sin. In Christ, we are forgiven and offered the gift of healing repentance. Thanks be to God. Profess our faith in the words, using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, from whence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us greet one another with signs of peace. Please be seated for our choir's anthem, I Come to the Cross.
I come to the cross where you died in my place.
Let us lift up our prayers of concern and joy. Fiercely loving God, we pray for the church throughout the world, that all who bear the name of Christ may find true repentance for their sins and walk in the ways of peace. Creator God, we pray for the planet Earth, your gift to humankind. Help us to refrain from exploitation and teach us to tend it with care so that all may share justly in its bounty. We pray for the nations of the world, wherever there is poverty, war, or oppression of human spirit, that all people may repent of the evil they do to one another. We especially lift up the people of Ukraine and Russia as lives continue to be lost through war and displacement. We pray for the leaders of all of the nations, that they may work for the common good of all people and repent of arrogant nationalism. We pray for our enemies, that we may learn to love them with regard for God's compassion, forgiving wrongs, and seeking reconciliation. Healing God, we pray for those who are sick or in trouble, for the defenseless, the weak, and the poor. We especially lift up Doug Cornelius after a successful surgery, but still dealing with a lot of pain, and Kathy Segi, who is dealing with cellulitis. May they all find help in their time of need, and that we may heed their cries. Listening Spirit, we thank you for all of the prayers you have heard and answered. Successful surgeries, visits with family and friends, and new jobs. Loving God, hear all of these prayers we lift before you for the sake of our world. With our prayers, accept the dedication of our lives that we may minister to the world in the name of Jesus, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please rise as you're able and join in singing our hymn of meditation, Children of the Heavenly Father.
Thank you.
is in joyful thanksgiving for all that we have received, that we now return to God our tithes and offerings in order that the good news of Jesus Christ may be fulfilled. God, we have beheld your goodness to us. Accept the offering of the work of our hands and use us for the sake of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Okay, this is Luke 13:31-35. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me, listen. I am casting out demons and performing cures today and tomorrow. And on the third day, I will finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way because it's impossible for the prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you, and I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when I say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Blessed be the reading.
Let us pray. Lord, open your word by your Holy Spirit so that we may believe your promises to us. Amen. This is a relatively short passage, right? There's only five verses here. But there's a lot going on. A lot of really unexpected things, even. We've got Pharisees warning Jesus. Herod, a fox, and a hen caring for her chicks. How does any of this make sense? So right off the bat, there's this strange encounter with the Pharisees. Most of the gospel stories where we encounter the Pharisees, they're pretty much at odds with Jesus. They're trying to trick him. They're, trying to put him down. All of these things. So it seems really odd that they're warning Jesus to get out of Dodge because Herod wants to kill him. And even more odd is that Luke is the only gospel that reports this incident. I think some of the other encounters with the Pharisees can kind kind of be a little unfair to them as a whole. Just like any other group of people, not all of the Pharisees are of the same mindset. Surely it is possible that these Pharisees were genuinely concerned for Jesus' life. On the other hand, it's also possible that they just wanted to be left alone and were trying to get Jesus out of their hair. But what's this about Herod? Herod, like the Herod in Matthew that tried manipulating the Magi to tell him where baby Jesus was so that he could eliminate his competition? That Herod? Did Herod really hold a grudge for 30 years and is still trying to get rid of the King of Kings? Not really. The person that Luke is talking about is Herod Antipas, the son of that very same Herod the Great we hear in the birth story. The thing about this Herod is that the Romans didn't consider him a king, but a tetrarch. So what that means is that he didn't really rule by his own right. He ultimately answered to the emperor. But he was given some authority over Galilee. It's possible that there were still some, you know, lingering bad feelings about Jesus that flowed from his father's legacy. Even if there wasn't an outright connection, it's likely that Herod did want to get rid of Jesus. His proclamation of the coming kingdom of God and other instances of civil disobedience made Herod Antipas and his supporters pretty nervous. And that feeling seems pretty mutual, because Jesus refers to Herod as that fox. We don't hear people compared to foxes very often in the Bible, and it seems pretty shocking to hear Jesus call someone a fox. So what does that mean? Much like today, the ancient Greeks understood the character of a fox as clever, but sly and unprincipled. We can be assured that Jesus is definitely not complimenting Herod. Whether the Pharisees are telling the truth about Herod's wish to kill him doesn't really matter to Jesus. He knows that his enemies, and let's be honest, there are a lot of them, don't have power over him until the time set by God. Neither Herod, the Pharisees, nor anyone else can stop Jesus' ministry. Jesus is going to do what Jesus do. Casting out demons and curing people while making his way to Jerusalem. Speaking of Jerusalem, Jesus also laments Jerusalem here. The city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. The Bible doesn't really deal directly with the fates of many of the Old Testament prophets, but there is a history in Jewish tradition that does. There are several Talmudic and early Jewish works that detail the martyrdoms of many of the prophets within Jerusalem. So if you think about like Jeremiah, Zechariah, Isaiah. Beyond that, the behavior of Jerusalem throughout the Old Testament is often an example, sort of writ large, of Israel's failure to follow the word of God. This lament for Jerusalem comes after a long string of parables that calls for repentance. Jesus is asking for repentance. And that's where we get to this curious case of a mother hen and her brood. Our scriptures use metaphors all the time, right? So that's not what makes this kind of strange. It's just that, I don't know, a chicken? A female chicken at that. Seems like a pretty strange metaphor for Jesus. In the Old Testament, there are a lot of times where, you know, there's an eagle fluttering over its young, and that's compared to God's wings spreading over the people of Israel. And that seems a little more reasonable. An eagle is just so much more majestic than a hen. Maybe if we take into consideration that the eagle was also a symbol of Imperial Rome, and Jesus just called a Roman official sly and unprincipled, maybe we can understand the urge to stay away from the eagle here. But more than that, Jesus's tone is one of utter heartbreak and disappointment at the refusal of his own people to hear and heed the summons of God to gather. Jesus sees Herod and all of those powerful people in Jerusalem as barnyard chicks that are lost in the storm. They're too afraid, too stubborn to find shelter under the shadow of the mother hen's wings. Jerusalem has not always treated Jesus or God particularly well, and yet it's clear that he still loves it so, so deeply. All he wants is to protect it, like a mother hen protects her brood. Jerusalem's actions can't and don't change that, because that's what's true. That's what unconditional love actually looks like. While I was contemplating and thinking about this passage and thinking about what I wanted to talk to you about today, my friend Melissa and her dog Max came to my mind. Max is an Australian cattle dog mix. And Melissa loves Max with a kindness and a patience that I rarely ever see. Max is just a devastatingly handsome boy. But he had a very rough start in life. He was found running around the desert, incredibly emaciated, a gaping wound at his neck caused by the wire that was wrapped around it. Melissa saw this poor creature on the county's animal shelter's website and knew that he would likely be put down, because caring just for the physical needs of this dog and his wounds would be prohibitively expensive for many people. But Melissa, being Melissa, she rushed to the shelter just to meet Max and see if there was anything that she could do to help. And it was love at first sight. She spent the time that she needed to learn everything she could to care for his wounds. And while there's still a scar there, he has healed perfectly. I think this was about 6 years ago. But over the 6 years or so, she has spent a ridiculous amount of time and money on this dog. Animal behaviorists, training, toys, food, home and yard improvements, and yes, vet bills. Yet Max is still very highly reactive. There are very few people in this world that he trusts. and even fewer people that Melissa trusts to be around him. Max cannot be around other animals. Just seeing a dog out the window gets him riled up for at least 15 minutes. He cannot control himself. It's just he's obsessed and he can't think of anything else. Max is also still convinced that he is on the brink of starvation and he will go to any length to steal food, even if it's not actually food. Melissa keeps a very strict schedule, and she only leaves him alone when she absolutely has to, and even then, she will only let people who she trusts more than anything to be with this lovely, handsome dog. There was one time Melissa was making brownies, and she had them, you know, she made brownies in a Pyrex baking dish. And Max, she just turned her head for a second, and Max, they were cooling on top of the stove, and Max, you know, got it down on the floor. The dish smashed into pieces, and he's eating it up. Now, Mickey, can you tell me, what's more important here, the shards of glass or the chocolate?
I said glass. I'd be more concerned about it.
Yeah, yeah. So do we make him throw up or not? And right? So this was a huge, huge deal. You know, Max has like 20 lives. He should not be alive. But you know, Melissa, gosh, she just, everything. Max is her whole world. Max also has a penchant for shoes. The more expensive the shoes, the better. But no matter how many shoes he eats, no matter how many holes he digs in the yard, no matter how frustrated the neighbors get with his incessant barking, no matter how many blankets he chews up, or how many times she needs to replace the blinds that he's broken, no matter how much he exhausts her, Melissa consistently shows this rambunctious dog kindness, protection, and mercy. Even when Max pushes her to the limit, Max is still her dog, and her love for him never ends. And that's the kind of love that I see coming from Jesus in this passage. Jesus's lament for Jerusalem is seemingly counter to how he is treated by Jerusalem. We humans can be frustrating. We're challenging. We're difficult. We try to push God away, either intentionally or unintentionally, yet God remains with us, still loving us, because God's love never, ever ends. There is nothing that could keep God from gathering you in, protecting you fiercely, even if the neighbors complain about all of our barking. Jesus as a mother hen is an image of this fierce love and protection, this unending love. Friends, you are each precious children of God. God longs for you. God will gather you in. No matter how much we try to separate ourselves, God's love for us is fuller than we can ever imagine. Thanks be to God. Amen. Please rise as you're able for our closing hymn, "I Want Jesus to Walk with Me," number 775. Thank you. Before we leave this place, let me offer a blessing. May you be awestruck by the beauty of this world. May you laugh and may it be contagious. May you overflow with love for those around you. May you be effusive with hope and quick to point out joy. And in all of your living and breathing and being, may you find yourself full to the brim with God's Holy Spirit, and may it change your life. In the name of the lover, the beloved, and love itself, go in peace.